1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger joins us. He is the entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier. Doug, and I know that you're busy this evening. Did you have a good holiday?
I had a great holiday, Phil. Thank you.
Tell me about Cold Mountain, the movie. You, there's a lot of big flicks that came out over the holidays. I know one of them was, of course, Last Samurai and
Lord of the Rings is still doing the great box office. Still, the thing that fascinated me about Cold Mountain, and I think that, and I say this based upon the fact that I have been, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I have been on the other side of that sort of indignation, but I think when you look at Cold Mountain and you see the beauty of Nicole Kidman and this beautiful woman and what she was put through during the Civil War, and I think the question that I ask myself, and I think the audience should ask themselves, especially African-American viewers of this film, was it worth fighting a horrible war, the Civil War, to destroy the beauty of this beautiful woman? She lived in a beautiful home. She had so much to live. And Nicole Kidman, I think, strikes such an elegant figure. So the question is, was the Civil War, and I know the Civil War was fought to get rid of slavery.
Well, that I was going to say that slavery was the reason why, despite what a lot of people tell you, by the way, Lincoln was he was against the slave trade.
Well, I understand that, but I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I've been out of the closet now for a good 4 months, and I have found in my journeys that as a gay man, I'm able to articulate, and I want to use the word courage, and please don't think that I'm being egocentric.
I understand.
But as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have the courage to ask the questions that I think a lot of people don't want to ask.
And so the question is, was slavery worth getting rid of?
In light of the fact of what it did to, not Nicole Kidman, but to, you know, to Nicole Kidman, but to who she is in the movie. But when you see her on the film, you say, well, that's Nicole Kidman.
Well, the character she's playing, right?
Yeah, but she's so beautiful, and she's so elegant, and look what happened to her.
All right, but let me interrupt you.
Okay.
And let me ask the question. Slavery destroyed the lives of hundreds of millions of men and women. It's been called, in and of itself, a genocide.
I understand that.
So how can you compare, in other words, why would you say, was it worth fighting to get rid of slavery when it ruined Nicole Kidman's or her character?
Well, here's why I say it, Phil. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As such, I have fought and I have lived on the other side. And as a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have an ability to see truth and to express things that do take courage. Slavery is bad. Yes. I'll give you that. But was it worth fighting the war? You know as well as I do that slavery would have gone away. It would have just worn out, you know, more or less. And we wouldn't have to have fought the Civil War. It would have just just faded away because people would have got tired of it. But no, we fought the war, and look what happened to Nicole Kidman and everything that happened to her. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I have to ask these questions.
And you wrote as such, right?
I wrote about it in my column, right. Orange County Courier will be this coming this weekend edition.
All right, Doug Danger is with us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about the movie Cold Mountain, and there are a lot of flicks out. But this one, this is a movie that concerns, indeed, Doug, it concerns a woman and her travails and her lover in the Civil War, right?
Yeah, a lot of people may not be familiar with the film, but I think everybody's familiar with Nicole Kidman. She is an elegant person. She's beautiful. She is one of the most gorgeous and beautiful women on the screen, and she's also very beautiful. And what I'd say is this, was the Civil War worth fighting? And what happens to her in the movie is she loses her home.
She's a Southerner, right?
She's a Southerner in the movie.
Okay.
She loses her home. She loses, her father dies of a heart attack. She has to scrap through the earth to make her own food. You see in one scene where she's writing a letter, her nails are filthy, everything. And there's an old saying that goes like this, this too shall pass. And if the blacks would have just said that to themselves when they were slaves, then Nicole Kidman would never have been put through that horror.
And so you're contending that the Civil War was unnecessary because slavery would have just gone away, and people like this character in this film never would have had to have gone through what she went through.
Well, Nicole Kidman went through. You should see this movie to see what she went through. But yeah.
And you use the phrase that slavery would have worn out.
Well, no, it's not worn out. I don't think that that's a fair way of saying it. But I think slavery would have just, people would have gotten tired of. You know, they just wouldn't want to do it anymore. And then it would just, that would be the end of that. And but as it was, they fought a war. And I'll tell you what, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. So this is not, I'm the only one who could probably say this. As a gay man and as a gay journalist, I have the courage because I've been on the other side of indignation. Everything the blacks in the Civil War went through, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I've been through it. But Nicole Kidman, if you go see the movie, watch what happens to her. You'll just be, you'll be stunned.
All right, Doug Danger with us, talking about Cold Mountain appearing in, but really this is a more far-reaching discussion here. This is a discussion of slavery and the necessity, I guess, of the Civil War.
If that's a good way of looking at it, yeah. I mean, all I know is Nicole Kidman, if you see her on screen, you...
Well, I've seen Nicole Kidman in a lot of movies. She is beautiful, I give you that. She is a good actress, I give you that.
No, but have you ever seen her on screen having to dig through the ground and all of that? For
now, what was she digging through the ground for food?
Well, that's what happened in the Civil War. You had to dig in the ground if you were lived in the South, all because they wanted to get rid of slavery, which is fine, but look what happened.
Well, they got rid of slavery, though.
But that's true. It's still, slavery's an evil. But what about Nicole Kidman and what happened to her there? No one ever thinks of that. And, again, I would not say these things on your program, probably, were it not for the fact that I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I'm aware of your sexual orientation. Your claim that because you're gay, you've seen indignation, and you've been on the other side of that argument, makes you a unique spokesman.
Absolutely. I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, Phil, and as such, I speak truth that other people, quite frankly, they'd be frightened. They would run and hide.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, talking to Doug Danger, who is the entertainment editor of the Orange County Courier. Here is Alonzo. Go ahead, Alonzo.
Hey, Doug, I appreciate your comment. I respect what you're saying, but I don't understand how you can compare being gay and coming out of the closet for 4 months to being a slave. There's no comparison right there. You're talking about people that was kidnapped from another country, bought here and put to work against their will.
That's right.
Versus you coming out the closet to be who you think you are versus as to who you was born.
Well, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist.
I don't have a problem with that. I respect all of that.
Yes, sir.
I'm just saying there's no comparison to being gay and a gay journalist to slavery.
Well,
that's a good point, Alonzo. How would you respond to that, Doug?
Well, I would say, Phil, if you can stop from being Mr. Talk Show Host for a minute.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, I think you're pandering to this caller. You know what I'm talking about.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. I understand that the African Americans and homosexuals share a common bond in that there's been discrimination against both. But this man's talking about generations of slavery as opposed to...
generations of slavery as opposed to me. What's the difference?
Well, there's a big difference there, Doug.
I've been reviewing movies for a long time. I've never been so mortified by what the Civil War did to Nicole Kidman. Did you see this movie?
Yeah, I saw the movie. It's a great movie.
What about
but
what it did to Nicole Kidman?
I understand. Look, I think you're coming from a gay perspective.
Yeah.
I think you're coming from a gay perspective. You're in love with Nicole Kidman. A lot of us are. I'm black, and I love Nicole Kidman. That's not a problem. The problem I have is what you're saying that what she went through during the Civil War, well, let's think about the genocide that black people went through to get to the point before the Civil War even happened.
That's true. And that was, when I sat down to write my article, that was tough. I had to weigh the genocide of blacks against what happened to Nicole Kidman, and I had to sit down and do a soul searching. Which was worse? Okay.
Which was worse?
What do you mean, which was worse?
I would think, if you're going to ask me the question which was worse, I would have to say...
What do you think is worse, Nicole Kidman being, you know, everything... Did you see her in the movie?
Hold on for a minute. Let me ask a question, Doug. You're asking what's worse, slavery or what happened to Nicole Kidman? First of all, that was her character.
That's my point. Yeah. Well, what do you think is worse?
What do I think is worse? By far, dude, the worst thing ever happened in America is slavery.
I would agree with Alonzo.
Well, you have to agree because you pander to your callers. Well,
now, hold on. That's the second time you've said that. I'm not pandering to this man. I honestly believe it was a horrible stain on the history of America. President Bush himself said it was a betrayal of everything we believe in. So what do you mean I got to pander to my callers?
Look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. I don't deal with people who can't come out and be honest. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, what do you mean by being honest? You're saying that...
Are you honestly saying to me that you think Nicole Kidman... What do you think of Nicole Kidman?
We're back on Nicole Kidman. I thought we were talking about the character of the movie.
Right.
You know, the movie is about what happened during the Civil War.
That's right.
It's not about Nicole Kidman. She just happened to be an actress playing the part of a character that existed during the war.
That's a good point, Alonzo. I'm going to take a break. I thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger, editor of the Orange County Courier. If you've seen Cold Mountain, it's a great film. But his question's broader. It's if you see what happened to the character of Nicole Kidman in this film, which, well, basically what happened to her is what happened to a lot of Southerners. They were poor, they were impoverished, they were beaten down. It was a tough, horrible war and experience for them. Was that worse than what happened to slaves? Mr. Danger says that it's tough. What happened to Nicole Kidman, is that worse than slaves being enslaved? 1-800-449-8686, and that's based upon his having the courage to say it, because he's a gay man and a gay journalist. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Won't float without pontoons. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Doug Danger with us, because I hadn't seen the movie, Doug. What was the scene?
So there is a scene. First of all, I think you have to understand that Nicole Kidman, during this film, is forced to sell a beloved piece of furniture, which was a piano, so that she could eat. She sold the piano literally for a couple of sheep. And I've never seen Nicole Kidman put through something like that. So, again, the question is slavery, was it worth it to put this beautiful woman, this elegant woman, through this? Slavery would have eventually gone away.
Why do you say slavery would have eventually gone away?
Well, I think primarily because people would have gotten bored with it, and we get bored with so much in this country. Fads are, in America, transient. You can look at the hula hoop. You can look at anything. You can look at Britney Spears is now out of favor. The hula hoop went out of favor. The Beatles are no longer big. Slavery was big. Everybody wanted to do it. Everyone wanted to own a slave or what have you. And then that would not have been in, as they say. It would not have been, as the kids say now, slamming or chic or what have you. And then, so it would have been... Having a slave, you would have been lame or whatever. And that's what Nicole Kidman had to go through because nobody understood that.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I'm with Doug Danger, our entertainment...
And again, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, so that's difficult for a lot of people to understand.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Doug Danger from the Orange County Courier. Let me go over to Nancy. Hi, Nancy. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Doug. I don't understand how you possibly, first of all, can compare yourself being a gay man, gay journalist, to slavery. It doesn't even compare.
Well, ma'am, are you gay?
No.
All right, I'm gay.
So, I'm blonde. I don't see how that can compare.
Wait a minute, blonde? All right, so in other words, being blonde, people have beaten you up for being blonde?
No, but I'm just saying
Did you ever walk out of a bar and have two women beat you up because you're a blonde?
No. But right. How does that compare to...
Don't you feel a little stupid? Don't you feel a little stupid now, having said that?
Right, no, well, what I'm saying is how you possibly can compare you being gay to slavery is a to me. It's
have
not
seen,
the same thing. You keep talking about Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman's an actress who got paid millions of dollars to do this movie. Wasn't there during the Civil War, nor was I, nor were you. It's a movie.
It's a character
she plays, and you act like she was all Nicole Kidman.
Well, no, you've seen Nicole Kidman. You've seen how beautiful and elegant she is.
She got paid millions of dollars to do it. She didn't have to do it. She did not have to go do this. It's a role, Doug. It's not real. She went... millions and millions of dollars to go dig around in the dirt.
That's the point.
Nobody made her do it.
That's the point I'm trying to make, Doug.
Well, look, I'm a gay man and a gay journalist, and I'm an incredibly strong man. Well, you say so what? Like you hate gays? Is that it?
No, but I'm saying you keep pointing that out. What does that have to do with the Civil War? You're gay.
All right, you make some good points, Nancy. But I would say this: I'm a gay man and a gay journalist. As such, I'm a very strong man. But I was almost brought to tears when I saw Nicole Kidman, and I've been out of the closet almost 3 months, and no black person's going to tell me that. Did you see the movie?
No, I haven't.
Yeah,
about the Civil War. I've read enough. I know that. And I can say thank God for the Civil War because that abolished slavery. Thank God
right.
we did have the Civil War. Because shame on us for anybody who thinks they have a right to own anybody else.
All right. Would you agree with this statement? If you're an African, did you say you're African American?
No, I'm not.
All right. If you were African-American, don't you think that when you go to see this movie, you'd feel just a little regretful that slavery is over when you see how this war ravaged Nicole Kidman, or not Nicole Kidman.
Well, we were talking about her character, not her.
Yes, that's correct.
You keep saying her, but you know what? I see how the Civil War, how slavery ravaged the African Americans. So what? The poor people had to dig through dirt. That's not even compared to what the black people went through during the slave days.
Right.
And I think shame on us that anybody ever thought that they had a right to own and treat people the way they do.
Look,
shame on those two women that beat you up because you're black. Because you're gay. Shame on them.
Well, two women didn't beat me up. Two guys did. But
shame on men, and I think they should be in prison for doing that.
But look, you know I'm gay, right?
Well, yeah, you keep pointing that out.
All right, the fact is that Nicole Kidman is writing a letter to her lover, and his name is Einman or something. I forget his name. And she's writing a letter, and you can see the dirt under her nails. You can see the...
Well, what kind of dirt do you under the nails of the black people do you think they had? Roseville? Did you ever see the movie Roseville back in...
Rosebud?
Rosebud, yeah. Did you ever see that?
Rosebud, no. But
that
I'll tell you this.
Horrible. I'm ashamed to be a white person after seeing that movie.
But here's the thing. Slavery was a fad like anything else.
It wasn't a fad. How can you possibly...
What do you mean a fad?
The white person did... That was so wrong to black people.
Ma'am, quit trying to cozy up to blacks, okay? A lot of white women like to cozy up to blacks so you can dance with them at clubs, and I understand that. And
Come on, will you?
One of the things that white women like to do...
I'm cozying up to gay people because I like to get...
No,
I said what is right and what's wrong.
You've been bashing me since you got on the air, so you couldn't be trying to cozy
up to
gays.
I said shame on the two people that beat you up.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
And I don't see how you possibly can compare the fact that you're gay to what the black people went through during slavery.
I appreciate that, Nancy. And I'll take into consideration your point of view if you'll seriously consider that you're just trying to suck up to black people so you can have them over to your house and people will think, you know, you're down with Eminem and all that. Okay?
Eminem isn't black.
He ain't black.
Well, so, he sounds like he ought to be.
Well, he's not black.
All right, he's not.
I'd like to see what your source on that.
How about a photograph of him?
You sound like that you...
All right. I got to run. Nancy, thank you. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We'll be back.
Look at that. And now more. on The Phil Hendry Show.
Doug Danger, entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier on Cold Mountain, the issue of slavery, Nicole Kidman's character, a poor, or what was once a wealthy, but a poor Southerner during the war, and all of that. And you wanted to make a comment before we go to another call?
I would, Phil, if I could. I'd like to see Nicole Kidman not only win the Academy Award, but if there was some recognition from the NAACP for her to be... It's wrong about the slaves. Yes, slavery was wrong. But how do you feel on balance? Don't you also think it's wrong to make Nicole Kidman give up her father's coat so she could keep some fat banjo player warm? I mean, that, if you see the movie, there is a banjo player and the man's overweight, and she gives up her father's coat. And I walked out, and I'm gay. And as a gay man, as a gay journalist, that pissed me off. And I say that, but I forget my language, Phil.
Well, I mean, I don't understand. As a gay man, as a gay journalist, it pissed you off to see Nicole Kidman give her father's coat to a fat banjo player.
Yes, it did. And I can hear the sarcasm in your voice. And
I'm not being sarcastic. I just don't agree that Nicole Kidman's suffering, and she didn't even suffer. Like the lady said, the actor, the character's suffering was worse than the blacks.
Well, then you... You really need to learn something. I'm gay, and walk a mile in a walk. You know, we used to say walk a mile in a fag shoes, and that was just something we used to have fun with at gay bars. But you try that. Walk a mile in a gay man's shoes.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Here is Lonnie. Go ahead, Lonnie, or the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Like I said, Bill, what is the gay issue about slavery right now? What is about Nicole right there? There was a lot of poor Southerners was against the war anyway.
I'm gay.
Yeah, I know you're gay. What's the difference?
The difference, I would say, Lonnie, this is Doug Danger, by the way, Lonnie, thank you. And yeah. By the way, I'm from the South.
Right,
I come from Columbia, South Carolina.
Yes, sir.
And I came out to California. And I've tried to educate people on two things.
Yes, sir. Go.
On being a gay man and a gay journalist and Nicole Kidman and everything she went through.
No, sir. You know, I come out of Folsom, Georgia. There
yes,
was a
sir.
Lot of good Southerners that supported, not slavery, but supported the issue, you know, that, oh, Jesus, how do you put this? It was
You know I'm gay, right?
I know you're gay. I know you're gay.
You're being gay.
Right, yeah, I'm clear on you, but what's that? Like I say, there was a lot of good black people that fought with the Southerners, too. You know, it wasn't all just...
I'm not afraid to stand up for Nicole Kidman. And
yeah,
I don't hear anybody doing that. I heard no one in the South do that.
Yeah, I heard that. But all I remember when my granny, before my granny died, her granny, there was a lot of travesties that the Northerners come in. They goddamn stomped their smoked meat, their meat into the mud and stuff, and left them spot.
What did they do to their meat?
So,
they took the food of the folks that had it in the smoke. You mean the southern, northern troops?
They stomped it in the mud and left them to die. But it was just like I said.
Slavery
wasn't the big issue.
I understand there were a lot of gay soldiers, but what I'm trying to say.
He didn't say anything about gay soldiers. He said the northern troops were very cruel to the civilians in the South.
Let me ask you a question, Lonnie. Did your grandmother give up her daddy's coat to, and I'll just use an example, a fat banjo player?
No, she didn't.
She never did.
You know, she
didn't
put her coat up to keep anybody warm, you know?
Yes, sir.
She would have done that. She was a true Southerner. She believed that, you know,
no, but I want to know,
everybody, you
did
know?
She give her coat up to a fat banjo player is all I'm saying.
I'm not saying that. This was, like I said, this was the issue. Back then.
Hold on just a minute, Lonnie. This is Phil Hendry. What do you mean did his grandmother give her coat up to a fat banjo player?
Well, I think you know what I'm talking about.
Maybe she done that to keep him warm, you know, she had a...
Are you accusing this man's grandmother of some kind of prostitution?
I'm saying
there was a lot of Southerners who wasn't against black, what you're trying to say.
Did your grandmother sell her piano for two sheep? No. What I'm saying
is... Lonnie, this is Phil Hendry. I think what Doug's saying is selling your father's coat to a fat banjo player is a euphemism for being a prostitute, right?
I didn't want to have to say that, but that's a Southern expression that we use. I sold my daddy's coat to a fat banjo player means I had to whore myself out.
All right.
You see what I'm saying?
She was surviving then. She was surviving.
Right.
You know, just like you're as a gay person survived. You said you was just beat up by a couple men. You're trying to survive, but that doesn't, you know, that's gay blacks in a civil war has nothing to do with the gay.
How many gay, do you think there were gay slaves? Because
all right, let me tell
you.
Right.
No, I don't think gays are. I don't
remember that. I sold my granddaddy's coat to a fat banjo player.
I don't think so.
Yeah, huh?
All right, thank you very much, Lonnie. Thank you, sir.
1-800-449-8686.
1-800-449-8686. Again, Nicole Kidman is not, she didn't suffer in the Civil War. The character she played suffered in the Civil War.
And I apologize if I'm making that, but I look at I love Nicole Kidman, and I think everything she does, she doesn't do anything bad. I would go across town to watch her, you know, as a gay man, as a gay journalist, I like to say, I go across town to watch her go to the bathroom. I mean, seriously, it doesn't matter to me because I think she's that talented. But I'm gay. And as such, I have a view, and when I say she suffered, I don't mean her. I mean that you're trying to say it wasn't her that suffered.
Yeah, she played a character. It wasn't her that suffered. It was the character that she played that suffered. We're talking with Doug Danger. He is a... entertainment writer for the Orange County Courier on slavery and whether or not it was worth getting rid of, seeing what it did to Nicole Kidman. 1-800-44 and what is the euphemism for prostitution?
Euphemism, we used to say down south, I sold my daddy's coat to a fat banjo player means I had to whore, you know, I gave my butt up on a corner for something to eat.
You did.
I can tell you that, well, that's really none of your business.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Rather be playing Grand Theft Auto. The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, so we're back from Christmas vacation, and that means as a result of me getting the cold that everybody had, and you know the one I'm talking about, so I'm sorry, but I can't do this show with that cold. I can't do the kind of show that I do with a cold, so I was off essentially on the day we were going to do our Dumbass of the Year Awards. Well, don't worry about it, because on January 9th, this Friday, 7-10 Pacific time, we're going to be doing the Dumbass of the Year Awards, and you can still vote at www.philhenryshow.com for your Dumbass of the Year in a variety of categories, African-American, Caucasian. We also have a television star, movie performer category. We have a number of them, including the overall Dumbass of the Year. You can vote, and you can still vote at www.philhenryshow.com. On Friday, our live webcast of the show will be available, and you can sign up for that at www.philhenryshow.com. You get a backstage pass that gives you access to all of the recorded and live material on our website, our audio archive files, as well as our TV files or video files, including any time maybe that Art Volo comes in and films me for free and then just sticks it on his website or gives it away to people without paying me a dime. All right. Thanks a lot, Art, for that. And Shotgun Tom Kelly was here. And it's always nice to see you, Tom. Just please don't bring Art the next time you show up. Now, anyway, our number is 1-800-449-8686. And we went and saw Cold Mountain, and we thought it was, Marie and I went and saw it. We had one of those nice days where the kids weren't around, so we went out, we drank tons and tons and tons of margaritas, and we saw Cold Mountain. Great movie. Renee Zellweger kicks ass. She's terrific. You ain't never seen Renee Zellweger until you've seen this flick. And then we went and made the colossal mistake of going for two. You know, if you see one good movie in a day, you figure you really figure that you've done it. You figure that you've beaten the odds and you have gotten your $8 worth, right? Although in my case, because I carry this SAG card, I got a Screen Actors Guild card, because I have to join Screen Actors Guild if I want to do cartoon voices. So because I got that card, I get in for free. What do you think of them apples? I get in for free between now and the end of March because of the, Academy Award voting? Because they think I'm going to vote. Oh, yes, sir. Except that the one theater over there in Westlake Village where the kid goes, are you on the nominating committee? No, I'm not. Well, we can't take it. I said, well, your mama too, you punk. And I reached across the ticket counter there and I pulled him over and I said, you dirty little. But anyway, then we made the big, fat, roaring, raging, screaming mistake of going to see two. Maria said, but I was so good, I want to see another one. I said, okay, what do you want to see now, baby? Let's go see the new Jack Nicholson, Diane Keaton movie, she said. Well, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm not kidding. First of all, I'm a huge Jack Nicholson fan in the movies. I dig them all. And I like Jack Nicholson for the reasons that you really ought to like him. He always played that offbeat, quirky guy, right? And he was, to my generation, really the James Dean of a younger generation. He was the recalcitrant rebel. He was the angry guy. He was the misunderstood, slightly psychotic hero. He was great. And all them flicks like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, Last Detail, which is one of my favorite movies of all time, where he plays this Navy Shore Patrol guy who has to take this guy to prison, and along the way he gets the kid laid and drunk. Or Five Easy Pieces, or Easy Rider. These are great movies, right? And even that, what's the one with, what's her name? What's the one with a woman from TV? God, what the hell's the name? As good as it gets. As good as it gets. That wasn't bad either. But let me explain something to you. And you know what? I'm talking about a movie that actually is, what, number three in the box office this week or something like that? Let me tell you a little bit about this movie. Don't you ever, and I don't care what studio, these studio guys, they say this, oh, this is the baby boomer movie. Oh, is that right? Really? Well, I'd wipe my rear end with that thing, man. Don't try to, look, do me a big favor, will you? Quit trying to push Jack Nicholson on everybody like he's the love master, like he's the sex god. Get out of here with that. The sexual politics thing. He's a fat slob of 63 like the rest of us. And that Diane Keaton, God bless her, but... And Keanu Reeves, question, whoever told you you could act? Just seriously, man, was there any one person or was it a variety of people that lied to you? So, are you getting the drift? Lousy. Just lousy. And I'll tell you, I don't walk out of movies very often. When my wife walks out of a movie, I'm telling you right now, it sucks. And she got up and she staggered out. I say staggered since we'd had two pitchers of margaritas. And I'd forgotten where I parked the car. But what's that got to do with anything? Oh, God, was it lousy. Now, let me tell you about another good flick we saw. In America, this Jim Sheridan movie, you got to go see that. I know you never heard of it. Yeah, I know it's an art film, and it plays at those creepy little theaters where the old ladies go and some guy with a ponytail. Just go and see this flick in America. It's great. And then what else? That's it. Those are the only good ones we saw. I hear Last Samurai is good, although, is it? Okay, Ben saw that because that's his kind of demo, you know. Go out and see a quasi-gay guy with a sword. Also, no, I understand it's good. I don't know. My kids thought it was fantastic, but I have to tell you, Ben, my kids' taste is reputedly up their rear ends when it comes to movies. Monster is pretty good. It's Monster is it's that serial killer lesbian. In other words, it's another movie that tells us that men are the reason why everything's bad in the world. All right, that's great. Oh, yeah, Mona Lisa Smiles, that's one we saw. Not bad. You know, Julia Roberts, she's pretty good. She's very, you know, she's a good actress. And Julia Stiles is in that one. It's about some woman who is a teacher at a college in the early 50s. And she teaches these women about how to empower themselves and be real people instead of just assistant housewife type people. And Kirsten Dunst plays an idiot. And there's a few other idiots in it. And it's good. It's another movie that basically says that all men suck. Oh, yeah. You know, by the way, just a little thing to tell you about this movie, right? This movie about Julia Roberts, this Mona Lisa Smile, she's supposed to be some chick who's got it all together. She tells the women how to empower themselves, right? But the choices she makes with the men in her life are the same stupid choices every woman makes, right? She's got a perfectly fine guy back home who's a really solid cat. She throws him out and moves in with some cat that screws everything that moves. And then she's upset when he screws everything that moves while he's with her. So, in other words, typical woman, right? But, hey, she's going to let the other chicks know how it really am at. So that blew. Let's see what else. Nah, it didn't blow. I would recommend that. Well, I sort of, if you're gay. No, honest to God, I would go see it. And then while we're sitting there, as we were getting hammered up on the margaritas over at some dump in Oxnard, I can't remember the name of it. I won't tell you the names of bad places, okay? Unless I'm talking about Starbucks, which I got a whole thing about Starbucks I want to tell you. By the way, speaking of Starbucks, I don't want to get off this subject, but I got to say this. Do you guys not make enough money? Do you need even more money? Do you need to squeeze another nickel out of a dead man? Is that what you got to do at Starbucks? Is that your problem at Starbucks? Look, I said it 2 weeks ago. I'm going to say it again. Everybody despises Starbucks, but we go there anyway because you put something in the coffee that makes us want to go back and drink it. Everyone that goes in there that I talk to people in line at Starbucks, they hate the place. They hate it. They hate everything about your store, Starbucks. The people that make the coffee with their moosed spiked hair and their earrings and their whole cocktail movie repartee, they hate all your crap merchandise, all those stupid CDs you cats try to pitch. Music for coffee lovers. What is that? Has anybody ever bought one of those? If you have, you want to take yourself out and just have somebody shoot you like you're a mad cow. Just go down where they're putting away the mad cows, man, and get in line. So we go into Starbucks in Oxnard. I don't give a crap if Starbucks is listening or not. I really don't, because I'm so sick and tired of you people. I could vomit liver bile. I walk into Starbucks in Oxnard. Two kids. One kid behind the register. One of them making coffee. 30 people. And you want to know why that is? Because the guy that owns that dump is so cheap, and he's got to squeeze a freaking nickel right out of a dead man with a suit cut out of the back. That he has, and he's on at home, laying on the beach someplace, right? That he's got to put two kids one on the register and one on the coffee, and there's 30 freaking people in line. The kid's working himself to death. He's got all these pissed off customers, and the cheap creep that owns that Starbucks, he don't want to hire one more person, or maybe two more. He could have had three more people in that place to service all the customers, but no, he's got a light crew during the season because he wants to really maximize his profits, as in squeeze a nickel, squeeze a dime, squeeze blood right out of a rock. Oh my God! Honestly, seriously, is there that little money in the world that people are needing? Are times that tough? And get a load of this. My daughter, Catherine, what does she want for Christmas? She wants a McDonald's McFlurry maker. It's basically a little plastic ice cream maker. We go out and we get it for her. Does it work? Is it put together easily? Is it put together at all? Oh, no. You have to put it together yourself. And the instructions that they have for putting this thing together, you have to reverse the order, right? One turn of the crank, the thing breaks. It's a piece of garbage. I wouldn't even take it back to the store. I just took it and I drop kicked it into my neighbor's yard. Hey, McDonald's, I guess you're in the same circumstance that Starbucks is in, huh? You got to have the last dollar that every dead man ever made. Is that what you got to do? But the one McFlurry it did make was pretty good. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show, brought to you by Nissan and your Nissan dealer.
And now, here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
All right, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. I just want to say that I love my niece very much. She's my sister's daughter, and I would never hurt her or anyone. But The Crocodile Hunter is one of my favorite shows, and I'm a big fan of Michael Jackson as well. And neither of those gentlemen have gotten into any kind of serious trouble, and neither has The Crocodile Hunter. But my one sister calls me and tries to tear me a new you-know-what after she had heard.
All right. We're talking with Stephen Bozell. He's a construction contractor. This is an interesting story that we found today in one of the local newspapers about you, sir, and I don't want to prejudice your case, but you threw your niece off the roof of a house because you were trying to emulate Michael Jackson and the Crocodile Hunter?
No, sir, I did not.
All right, well, let me just say to people, if you don't know the story, this guy, the Crocodile Hunter, that's on TV, his name is Steve Irwin. He, apparently, and could we put Mr. Bozell on hold for just a moment, because I got a noisy line for him. Can you redial him? Anyway, this Steve Irwin, who is the crocodile hunter, apparently was fighting or feeding a crocodile. Is that right, Janice? While he was holding his infant son, and he has come under the same kind of attack that Michael Jackson. Are you there, Mr. Bozell?
Yes, sir. Right here.
Okay. And he's come under the same attack Michael Jackson came under when he dangled his baby son over a railing. Now, you did that with your niece, right?
Well, let me explain. I love my niece. She's my sister's daughter. The children had piled some snow up. We were in Tennessee over the holiday, which is where we're from originally, from the Knoxville, Tennessee area. And they had piled some snow up. And Michael Jackson, he did it, and he didn't get in trouble. This gentleman you mentioned, Mr. Irwin, did it, and he's not gotten in trouble.
But you threw your niece off the roof of a house into snow.
What I did was I dropped her into the snow from about 15 feet, and that's not an unusually high highness to throw a kid from, but my question is, if Michael Jackson did it and now the crocodile hunter did it, why do I do it and then I get in trouble? And that's the same thing that's been going on for a lot of Americans. All the celebrities get to do it, but when Americans want to do something, they get into trouble. And that's why we filed our lawsuit.
All right, the Dolores Blazingame is your attorney in Riverside?
In Riverside, California, yeah.
And you are filing a lawsuit against Karen Hughes, who is your your sister, right?
That's my neighbor is the lady from across the street. Not my neighbor, but lady from across the street is a Patricia Eubanks.
All right, we'll get to her. But you're suing your sister and her husband.
That's correct.
Why?
Well, sir, I'll tell you right now, I've never in my life been accused of being a child abuser. But my sister, who is Karen Hughes of Knoxville, Tennessee, she called me, and I'm quoting now. A stupid blank hole. Her husband, who's Mark Hughes in Knoxville, Tennessee, said if he'd had a gun, he would shoot me. Now, that's a direct quote. He said if he had a gun, he would shoot me. Additionally, I was a recipient of a threat from my own wife, April Bozell, Corona, California, who said, and I'm quoting again, it was the dumbest thing she ever seen a man do.
All right, you want to take a moment, sir?
I'm fine.
Okay, go ahead. You're quoting what your wife said?
Yes, sir.
She said it was the dumbest thing she ever saw a man do, and then what?
She said, and to think, it was one that she married. And I'm quoting her word for word.
Mr. Bozell, you got to see that if you... It's incredibly dangerous to throw a child off of the roof of a house, even into a pile of snow. How old was the child?
Tanya's just 18 months.
You threw an 18-month-old baby off the roof of a house into a pile of snow... Because you admire Michael Jackson?
No, sir, not because I admire Michael Jackson or the Crocodile Hunter 2. It's because they get to do it, and the average American doesn't. And now I'm in trouble, and I didn't do anything wrong. How come that is? And also, the other thing I want to say is, I was called a stupid a-hole, and I won't say the whole word. My brother-in-law said he would get a gun and shoot me.
You threw a child off the roof of a house. What if the child had been harmed?
The child was not harmed at all. The child was fine.
That's my understanding, but what if the child had been harmed? Hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California. You're in the construction business, sir?
Yes, sir. I have a construction contracting company in Corona, California.
All right. You apparently over the weekend of the last holiday weekend, Steve Irwin, a crocodile hunter, was feeding a live crocodile while holding his infant son. He's come under attack in much the same way Michael Jackson has. Is that your understanding?
That is my understanding, and it's also, I think, unfair for him. He knows what he's doing. He never hurt the child. He fed a crocodile, and he wasn't feeding his baby boy to the crocodile. Also, Michael Jackson knew what he was doing, and I know what I'm doing. But everybody's saying that I'm a child abuser. And Michael Jackson?
Well, Michael Jackson took a lot of heat for what he did.
Well, they threatened, but nobody ever did. Nobody threatened to call, take his kid or anything. Nobody took his kid.
Are you going to have your children taken away from you?
No, but my wife, what I'm trying to say to you is my wife called me a stupid son of a bitch. My neighbor, my brother-in-law, and my sister-in-law all called me a a-hole, and A-S-S.
I understand what they called you, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. you have named multiple parties in your lawsuit, not only your mother, not only your brother-in-law and your sister-in-law. You've named a Patricia Eubanks of Jerome, Tennessee, correct?
That is right, yeah.
And who is she?
She is a neighbor who got involved and called me a stupid son of a bitch. In addition to what my sister said and my brother-in-law, and also my own daughter called me an idiot, and that's my daughter, and I'm certainly not going to take no legal steps, but I can tell you when your own daughter calls you an idiot, well, that'll really take the wind out of you. But to answer your question, sir, I knew exactly what I was doing. I knew my niece would fall directly into the middle of the snow pile, and I knew when she went in, we had the children stand by to dig her out. Because she went into we had a pile of snow and it was pretty good powder that day. In fact, I went up to Baker Lift in the afternoon, took the children up. We went snowboarding because it was some good powder. But when the baby went in, we couldn't find her initially, but we got her out in time. She was fine.
You drop a baby off the roof of a house into a pile of snow, and she disappears into the snow, and you have to dig her out. That's going to scare any parent.
Oh, I understand it'll scare a parent, but that's because they don't know nothing, and they don't know anything about it. Okay?
Let me ask you this, Mr. Bozell, because I know we're going to get this question. What if that were your daughter? Instead of your sister's daughter or your brother's daughter, your brother-in-law's daughter, what if that were your daughter and someone took that child and dropped her off the roof of a house into a pile of snow to the point where she disappeared into the pile and had to be dug out? Even though she was fine, what would you think about it?
I'd be like most people. I would not have a problem with it.
You think most people wouldn't have a problem with that?
Not if it was the brother-in-law. You said, what if somebody was, would it be my brother-in-law?
So if your sister-in-law took one of your kids when they were infants and dropped them from the roof of a house, okay?
If it was my sister-in-law, I'd be, the way most Americans are, they would not have no problem with it. Because your family's everything. Your family's everything. You always got to back your brother's play. And we took a photograph of this. The whole reason why this happened is we took a photograph of it. I had my son, Stephen Jr., take a photograph of it as the baby hit the pile of snow. And we took a photograph of it and showed it to Karen. We showed it to Mark when they came home from Kroger's, because they'd gone over to Kroger's with my wife. They were going to get some prime rib for the dinner that night. We're having a holiday dinner. And I showed them the picture, and it said, look, and the baby's fine. I showed her the baby. I had Tanya. I was holding her in my arms. She was okay. And that's my sister called me a stupid son of a bitch. My brother threatened to shoot me. The lady across the street came over and called me a butthole, some kind of a name. My daughter called me an idiot. And and then on top of that, I stood there and wept. And that's a hell of a thing for a young boy to see his father do. I cried in front of Steve Jr.
All right, so the chronology is, you saw a crocodile hunter feeding a crocodile on TV, holding his son. You emulated this by dropping your infant niece off the roof of a house into a pile of snow. You had to dig her out?
She disappeared into the snow, and we saw where she went in, and the kids went in immediately. She didn't have no stop. She didn't have no stoppage of breathing or nothing. And I would never do anything to hurt my niece. That would be crazy, and I'm not a crazy man.
All right. You take a picture of it to show to your sister and her brother to see, look, see, it, she's okay, and Michael Jackson didn't mean to hurt his kid either. And your brother calls you a bunch of names. Your sister calls you a bunch of names.
My brother-in-law, sir.
Yeah, your brother-in-law calls you a bunch of names, and so now you're suing them for calling you names.
Well, no, sir, I'm not suing them for calling me names.
Well, what does the suit say? It alleges multiple trauma?
The suit claims multiple emotional assault, psychological trauma, defamation of character, and emotional rape, and with Dolores Blazingame of Riverside, California, is my attorney. But at no time was I out of control. I immediately wrapped the child in a towel. I've got the photograph of the kid before I dropped her off the roof and after, and there's no difference at all in how her head looks or anything.
And the child was bundled up?
We had wrapped her in some newspaper, and she was fine, yes, sir.
All right, hold the line. 1-800-449-8686. Are people a little too concerned about the well-being of children? Stephen Bozell is on the line with us. He dropped his niece off the roof of a house she's an 18-month-old baby, into a pile of snow. He was called a stupid this and a stupid that. He was threatened with all kinds of legal action by his sister and brother-in-law, and he says that they insulted him so much he's suing them, that at no time was he out of control, And that people like Michael Jackson for dangling his baby over the railing, or even Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, those people are unfairly criticized because we've gone overboard with child welfare. 1-800-449-8686. If somebody drops your kid off the roof of a house into a pile of snow, is it okay if they're related to you? 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. I want to be a black youth leader.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So, Mr. Bozell, you were just doing a Michael Jackson. You didn't think you hurt the child.
No, I did not hurt the child.
All right, you didn't hurt the child. You also think that your sister overreacted because you are related to her.
I think, Mr. Hendry, that when the uncle of a young niece has a little bit of fun with her, tosses her in the air, or throws her off a roof, or whatever, you know, I did not throw her off a roof. I threw her in a pile of snow.
But an 18-month-old infant...
Sir, I threw her into a pile of snow.
But I want people to know this was an 18-month-old infant that you threw into the...
But the point is, I'm her uncle. If I'd been a stranger, or if I was just a friend from across the street or unrelated, that's one thing. But I'm blood, and blood don't... Let me tell you what, blood's thicker than water. Blood don't do... Blood don't do bad to blood. And that's... And what upsets me the most is that my own sister thinks I would put her... little girl in danger. If a complete stranger tossed Tanya off a roof in the snow pile, I'd be very concerned. I would think something wasn't right about that. But I'm that little girl's uncle. It's a shame my sister wants to ruin our relationship. And if she was abused by somebody as a child, I didn't know about it, and now she blames me. Maybe someone touched her area.
You're now saying your sister was abused?
I'm not saying that, but I'm wondering if she was.
All right, Mr. Stephen Bozell with us. He tossed his infant niece off the roof of a house back in Tennessee into a pile of snow. By the way, the kid went into snow so deep you had to dig her out.
We found her immediately.
Okay, and you did that because Michael Jackson dangles his kid off the roof of a house and no one seems to care. 1-800-449-8686. It's one thing to do that, sir. You're turning around and suing anybody that criticized you.
This is America, last time I checked.
Right, okay, but you're suing them because they called you an a-hole.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's go to Deborah. Hi, Deborah. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good, ma'am.
First of all, if this guy was so darn sensitive about being called names, why wasn't he sensitive to the fact that maybe somebody would react badly to this?
Because of the Michael Jackson incident, which I thought we were over it. On account of what he did.
What, so one famous person gets away with a stupid action and you're allowed to do it?
I'm the girl's uncle.
You don't want to hear something about blood is thicker than water?
Okay, and I would never hurt no child. That's my sister's daughter.
Yes, well, I've got a brother-in-law who is having sexual fantasies about his infant niece also.
How do you know about that?
Because he admitted it to his counselor, who promptly called my sister-in-law and told her about it. So listen, don't tell me that just because you're a relative means that you're not going to hurt somebody,
okay? If I were you, I'd seek counseling then.
It's not my
problem. Why does she need to seek counseling?
She's just sad about...
What about the guy who's having fantasies about his niece and you're out there throwing an 18-month-old child off a roof? I think you need counseling.
Well, ma'am...
You need to have your IQ checked.
Well, you know something, ma'am? My niece is fine, but you're the one who's got a brother who loves and wants to have sex with a kid.
I'm sorry.
Wait a minute.
Listen. Okay, that's beside. I'm just saying.
That's your own brother, too.
No, it's not. It's my brother-in-law. Listen, what I'm pointing out is that you're so darn sensitive about being called a couple of names. You know, it's a free country, you say it is. Well, true it is. That's why there's
right.
The freedom of speech.
Right.
Why can't they call you a few choice names?
Why not? Wouldn't you be tempted, Mr. Bozell?
No, not if it was a family member. Okay, and this lady's making up some story about her brother-in-law. I don't believe that at all. I don't think a man would have... Well, you think it's funny. That proves she's making it up.
No, I just can't believe that you don't know me and you don't know my situation.
Well, how come you're... All of a sudden, it's convenient that your brother-in-law wants to have sex with a baby, and it's my brother...
I don't think it's very convenient at all. I think it's pretty sick.
Oh, I can tell you think the whole thing. Quit clowning around. Yeah, see, she's clowning.
I don't think she's clowning. I think what she's saying is, you know, it's maybe unbelievable that you don't believe it, but there are that kind of, those are, people exist like that.
That want to have sex with a baby child.
Yes, sir.
Well, then I'll tell, okay, then that proves that I'm all right. All I did was throw a kid off the roof of a house, and there's a guy out there that wants to have sex with a baby? Sweet Christ.
Okay, you know...
And people are calling up talking to me?
All right, let me go to Francis here. Francis, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, I just want to tell that man, are you stupid or retarded or something? You know.
Wait a second,
Do you think, you know, monkey see, monkey do? Do you think that it is correct? What about if, you know, something would have happened to that baby? You know, he could have, like, broke his neck or something. You would have been happy with that?
We had tested it out with a baby.
Tested it out? What do you think, this is like a stunt? Or
no, ma'am.
Do you think the baby is a mannequin or an animal or a pet?
Ma'am.
Even the pet, people do not throw the pets off a roof.
May I say something, please?
What?
We had tested it out with a large doll that my daughter had.
Your niece is not a doll. It's a human being.
But
just because, you know, other people get away with it, or if they do, if they don't, you know, that's them. But that is not correct.
Can I ask a question? Are you trying to tell me, Mr. Bozell, you threw a doll off the roof a number of times to...
Just to get wind velocity, yes, sir.
And then you threw this living baby?
Yes, sir, but that proves that we cared about the well-being of the child, but we wanted to test wind, we wanted to test drop.
No, you don't care about the well-being of a child.
How do you figure?
You should throw your ass in jail for doing that.
Ma'am, I knew the baby would fall into the deepest part of the snow because it took us longer to dig her out. She was smiling when we pulled her out, and we gave high fives all around, and it worked. It worked.
Oh, that is fun. High fives. What about if something would have happened? What about
ma'am,
if she
nothing
died
would,
or something? What about if you couldn't took her out, you know, or something? She would have stopped breathing.
First of all, ma'am, I'd like to point out that it's not couldn't took her out. It's what if you could not have taken her out?
Okay, oh, I'm
okay,
sorry.
Okay, so your grammar, foo, boy.
Oh, watch your language,
I'm
please.
Sorry.
Okay, that's all right.
You'll see right there. We had thrown a baby doll off the roof, tested wind velocity.
A baby doll and a baby, it does not weigh the same.
Is that lady speaking Spanish back there?
I'm sorry?
Is that a woman behind you speaking the Spanish language?
Yes.
All right, I can't. Please tell her to speak English. We're in America now. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry, but you're speaking to a Mexican-American person, and
okay.
I can speak any language. And
you are living in the United States
and I have the right of speech.
Well, you speak English in the United States.
Well, so what? You know what? So what? I can speak any language. You know, we ain't talking about me, okay? We ain't talking about my language. We're talking about...
And ma'am, I would...
You know what? Even though you're in Mexico, beating up a child or doing anything to a child, that's illegal, too.
Ma'am, could you please tell the Mexican to speak English?
Well,
wait a minute. Wait.
You know what? We I'm talking about you being racist or anything. I'm talking about your ignorance of throwing a kid off a roof.
Senorita, have you ever even seen snow? Yeah, okay.
Yes, I have been. I've seen snow.
They don't have none down there.
Okay, look, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Throwing a child off the roof of a house into the snow. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Stephen Bozell is on the line. He is a construction contractor from Corona, California, who is suing his own sister and brother-in-law. And his own wife has been named in a lawsuit. He says that he was emotionally traumatized by their angry reaction, calling him names, referring to him as an a-hole, referring to him as a son of a bitch, threatening to shoot him. Their reaction was because he had taken the infant daughter of his sister, his niece, and dropped her off the roof of a house into a pile of snow to prove that it wouldn't hurt her. And that Michael Jackson and Steve Irwin, the Crocodile Hunter, and other parents who have seemingly exposed their kids to danger have been wrongly criticized. Now, you mentioned that before you dropped your niece off the roof of this house, you tested it out with a baby doll.
That is correct. And that is key to our lawsuit. That calling me I can't use the word, but the ASS hole, and also calling me a son of a bitch, was ill-directed. According to my attorney, that's legal terminology, ill-directed, because I'd already taken precautions to test it out. So they had no right to call me a stupid son of a bitch and these kinds of names.
All right, since you had dropped a baby doll off the roof of the house, how many times?
We had done approximately 20, 25 test drops.
Well, what kind of a doll? I don't understand. So in other words, because you test dropped a plastic doll, that they had no right to call you an a-hole because you knew what you were doing?
That is correct. That is correct. And that's our claim to the court, that I knew precisely what I was doing because we had done 20, 25 test drops, testing wind velocity. We did it in a variety of weather conditions on two separate days.
Well, so this was a big thing for you.
Well, yes, sir, because I wanted to show that even if Michael Jackson had dropped his son, that maybe he would not have got hurt.
So over a two-day period, you dropped plastic dolls off the roof of a house to test out your theory that you could drop your own niece into a pile of snow and she would be okay.
That is correct. And as I showed all the test data to my brother-in-law, and I also showed my daughter, my niece, I should say, to my brother-in-law, and she was fine. And he still said he wanted to take a gun and cut me a new ass.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Steve Bozell. Let me go to Gloria. Gloria, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, I'm calling for the first time. I cannot believe this man. He says family doesn't hurt family. It does not give you the right, because you are family, to risk an 18-month-old's life dropping her blindly into snow. You call these test drops. There could be a rock under there. And clearly, you have nothing better to do with your time with your niece. You couldn't play on a sled. You couldn't enjoy her, but you test drop her to prove a point.
I think it's an excellent point, Gloria. Steve?
Well, first of all, ma'am, there were no rocks. We had used snow. We piled the snow. We had the children pile the snow. There were no rocks. Obviously, we would test against that precaution. Number two, we had what's called a Betsy Wetsy doll, which was a doll made by Hasbro. Five times out of six, she landed in the right in the center of the pile, and six out of six only went down 3 feet. So
sir,
we knew.
Sir, with family like you, no one needs enemies. Your sister is lucky that you never get near the niece or any other children if you're going to test drop them anywhere.
No, I did
you
not test.
You need to carefully consider what you test drop. I don't think this gentleman here should be equated in any way to the alligator man, in that
that guy
is so comfortable with the alligators, I really believe that he would protect that baby.
See, there you go.
I don't
that
see
proves
in any way, excuse me, I don't see in any way that you were trying to protect this child.
Ma'am.
You were using her as a toy, as a gadget, as a thing. She is a human being that looks to adults to trust and to take care of them. And you are a fool.
Okay, what about the alligator man? You just said he knew what he was doing.
I said because he does this, he's an educated man. He lives with these alligators. I'm saying, how dare you even equate yourself to him? You are not in the same league.
Ma'am,
you are.
I was
raised in Riverside, and you shame me,
ma'am,
by saying you're in Corona. You are such a country bumpkin correcting a Latina lady. Shame on you.
We live in America, and here we speak English. Okay, that's number one. Number two.
You barely pull it off.
First of all, they're not alligators. They're crocodiles. Okay, so tell me
it
how...
Really
yeah,
matter.
Oh,
the
yeah. Yeah, you're all smart, aren't you?
However, is an educated man who had his child in the arm. He certainly wasn't hanging the child over a pool of crocodiles.
All right, let me get Steve to respond, and then I think the caller's made some great points.
Well, no, she hasn't, because number one, she says that the alligator hunter or crocodile hunter knows what he's doing. I test dropped the Betsy Wetsy doll six times.
Well, wait a minute. This is a guy who is an educated man in zoology. He is.
Because he went to school. I'll check. I've checked my notes, but only two times the Betsy Wetsy arm fell off, and that's because my daughter broke the arm when she was a little kid.
Oh, my God.
What?
You are frightening. Only two times her arm came off. Do you have children, sir?
Yes, ma'am, I've got two. I've got Steve Jr. and my daughter April.
You know what? I will pray for them, because you have very poor judgment. It is very scary
to think
that people like you are out there playing games like this with their children.
Okay, but the crocodile...
There were so many wonderful things you could have been doing in that snow with an 18-month-old.
Okay, but Mr. Alligator, he gets to do it. Okay, that's
what I'm saying is that you keep equating yourself to that man, and I don't think you're in the same
What do you mean,
category.
Mr. Alligator?
I mean the alligator hunter. And,
wasn't it you that corrected me about the crocodile? The point is
you called him
you
Mr. Crocodile.
In the same league.
When's the last
you're
time?
Not.
Have you ever dropped a child in the snow just having fun with a kid?
It would not enter my mind.
You've never thought about tossing
a
child?
I am proud to say it would not enter my mind. I would, however, think of something crazy like going down a sled or building a snowman or throwing a snowball, but
That's so that's never been done. No, that's so original.
Oh, okay, well, who cares?
You know,
you're talking about a child.
Something original with your life instead of screwing around with a niece.
All right, thank you very much, Gloria.
All right.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the orientation of this woman, if I may.
What do you mean, orientation?
Sexual orientation.
Well, she's gone now. Thank you very much, Gloria. What has that got to do with anything?
Because she sounds like a ball-busting butch guy.
Okay. Cut him off, please.
Mr. Henry, all I'm saying is if the Betsy Wetsy had broke it, broke, I would never have tossed Tanya off the roof of that house. But the doll was intact. I knew what I was doing, through the series of test drops, through the velocity tests, wind factor tests, and stress tests. Now, she lets Mr. Alligator, he gets to have his kid while he feeds an alligator. How come that is? Because she says Mr. Alligator is educated, but she won't take none of the test drops that we did into consideration. And so I'm just a piece of crap, and Mr. Alligator gets to do whatever he wants to do.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Jeremy, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, right on. I'm not going to sit here and talk a lot of crap to the guy and make him feel all bad because I think they're doing a good enough job. But I've done some crazy things with my kid, too. But you said that was powdered snow, right?
Yes, sir, it had some fresh powder that morning.
All right, well, guess what? I'm a snowboarder, and powder has a lot of give to it, man. I could understand it if it was a little bit more firm packed, you know, but dude, that powder gives, dude.
Well, dude, I know that. I mean, we had a big pile of it, okay? I needed
some
give.
You go straight through it, man. I've been snowboarding for years.
Well, you don't go all the way through it down to China. There's a place where it stops.
Yeah, it's called
the
rock.
The ground. Of course you stop on the ground.
Well, I don't know what he's talking about.
No.
I've thrown my kid up in the air. I've had fun with my daughter. But if anybody else did it, I'd probably flip out, even if it was my brother-in-law, dude.
Well, wait a second. Your brother is not going to hurt no kid of yours. That's his blood, right?
Brother-in-law ain't exactly blood. Okay.
No.
Well,
see, you're talking your brother-in-law's the one that threatened you. If somebody threw my kid up in the air, I'd threaten to shoot him, too.
Well, how
come? Even if it was my brother-in-law.
Even if we'd done all the test drops.
It's a doll.
Okay, but we had powdered snow, and the doll...
But the doll's not going to tell you if it got hurt, is it?
Well, you can see if it got hurt. You can check and see if an arm come off.
But it don't bruise. You can't see crap, dude.
Well, when we pulled her out of the snow pile, she didn't have no bruises on her head or nothing.
Wait a minute.
You're very lucky. That's what I'm saying.
That's after the fact.
You're very lucky.
Yeah, that's after the fact. I mean, how do you know
but
that
if you were smart, I wouldn't do it again.
Well, I guess I won't, because now everybody's called me a butthole and everything.
Well, I know. Hey, man, I'm an independent sales marketer. I go door-to-door and sell to people all day. Should I sue everybody that's called me a name?
No, because you're not related to them or anything. And you were
so what?
Well, you're not...
My mom's called me an asshole. Oh, sorry, pardon my French. My mom's called me some horrible names, too, and I still love her. I don't care.
Well...
A word is a word. Don't you teach your kids. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Well, now you're reminding me of my daughter. I used to say that to her all the time, and she's the one that called me an idiot and broke my heart.
But how can you say that to your kids and not imply it, man? All I'm saying is if you're
going
to be a parent, lead by example, dude.
Okay, but you should try it just because it is fun. Take a kid and put a pilot...
Never mind what he should try. Thank you very much, Pat.
Dude, it's really...
Never mind. Here is Mary on the Phil Henry Show. Mary, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi, Mary.
Did this guy ever consider the fact the difference between a doll and a human child is the fact that they have a spinal cord and that this child could have been injured in that fall and that's why his 25 drops mean nothing?
Well, wait a
because
second.
Because a Betsy Wetsy doll is not made like a human being.
First of all, I don't know what you're talking about, okay?
You don't know that human beings have spinal cords.
I know that. But if you
they have bones and that they have things that are, I mean, if you drop a Betsy Wetsy doll and you fracture their plastic, okay, fine. But if you drop a human being, there's things internally that can be fractured that you wouldn't have any eyewitness account to.
No, but first of all, we took the Betsy Wetsy doll into the garage and we sawed it in half to see what was inside of it. Okay, there's no.
It's still not human.
You did
it's
what?
Not human. It's plastic.
What? You took the Betsy
doll.
No, but we sawed the doll in half just to see what it looked like inside.
It doesn't look human.
Okay. I can tell you it's hollow. All right? Now, I don't know if you
ever... A human being is not. They have internal organs that can be in...
Look at that. Hold on for a minute. See that? You can't see it, Phil, but we're sawing another doll in half. It's all hollow in there.
Wait a second. Are you clown sawing...
A human being has a heart and liver and bones.
We understand
and soft organs can be damaged by that fall.
But we did approximate
that. You don't have a leg to stand on, and I can't tolerate your stupidity.
Oh, really?
And I don't appreciate your endangering the life of a human child.
Oh, well, ma'am,
thank you for letting me have my say.
Yeah, thanks for listening, too. Jesus. Okay, what I was going to say, Mr. Henry, is we sawed the doll in half and put, like, chicken parts and everything inside to make it look like it had guts and everything. Then we throwed it off. Like, right here.
Wait a second. I want to ask you a question.
Hold on for a minute. Yeah. Get it right there and then take them chicken parts and put it in. God damn, that's your finger.
Hold on for a minute. Hold on for a minute.
Shut it off. Tommy, shut it off. Yeah?
What are you clowns doing? Are you standing around all day sawing dolls in half and sticking chicken guts in them and throwing them off the roofs of houses? Dude, how old are you?
I'm 38.
38 years old and you're doing stuff that I did when I was 10.
So you did do this?
When I was 10. 10, man. I took my sister's dolls and I drove my bike over them just to see what would happen.
What did it look like?
What do you mean, what would it look like?
Oh, here, let me saw another one here. This is neat. I want to see what it looks like when we drop it off the roof.
Yeah, all right. Get rid of him. Gee, that's really neat. Let's drop it off a roof and see what it looks like. I know. Let's drive. Why don't you just drive over it with your truck? 1-800-449-8686. Good luck with your lawsuit, man, for what was that? Oh, yeah, emotional rape. It's the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The whore. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Don't forget, the best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD is available online at www.philhenryshow.com. It's called The Death of Talk Radio, and all the money that we raise from the sale of our CD goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. And you can also call 1-877-616-7445 and buy the CD, you know, like over the phone if you don't have a computer, and if you have some plastic. And let me just say, let me be one of the many to say congratulations, Green Bay Packers, on a solid win yesterday over the Philadelphia Eagles. As you know, the Pack, they are now my team, man. I got no team. I live in L.A., so people would say, oh, what's your team? I don't know. I don't have no team. I guess the Dolphins. Nah, forget that. The Green Bay freaking Packers. The Green Bay ding-dang bloody Packers. The Green Bay stuff Packers. Meat Packers. Good ball game yesterday. Al Harris picked. And by the way, the quarterback for the Carolina, was that who? No, they were playing the Seattle Seahawks. Matt Hasselbeck is a great quarterback. He's going to be a great quarterback. And the kid was having fun there in the OT when he said, we like the ball, we're going to score. And it ain't no big controversy. So why don't you take a chill Joe Buck or whoever that was calling the game. Who was calling that Seattle game anyway? Was that Buck? Or was it Joe Buck? Yeah, on Fox? You know, Buck, relax. The guy's like, well, that'll be a headline tomorrow that Hasselbeck said we'd like the ball and we're going to score. What a controversial thing it was to say. Holy sweet geez. The kid said later on, hey, you know, I was standing there. They're doing a coin toss. Ahmad Green and Ryan Longwell are a couple of good friends of mine. I thought I'd stick it to them a little bit. Big wow. So take a break, Fox. big controversy, nothing, man. Everybody got it. It was funnier than hell, if you want my honest opinion. The guy says, you win. What would you like to call? I would like to call heads. We'll take the ball. We're going to score. Out of sight. Anyway, the Seahawks got, they lost like we knew they would. There was no way they were going to win that football game. Now the Packers go to Philadelphia, and good luck. I was a Packer fan, but, you know, I think the Eagles are looking pretty good. No, I'm kidding. Whatever. I don't think they'll beat the Eagles. Not there. You know what? I don't know. Who knows? And who cares, right? It's football. You know, I'm talking about something like 90% of the human race couldn't give a sweet ding-dang about. What everybody's talking about these days, what's the big talk in sports? Yes, Pete Rose. Oh, we must know. Does Pete Rose belong in the Hall of Fame? Ask me if I care. Ask me if I care whether Pete Rose gets run over by a truck, gets hit by a bus, drowns or dies in a plane wreck. What do I care? Pete Rose, he played baseball once, they tell me. He wasn't bad. That's back when I used to watch baseball. I don't watch it anymore because, frankly, it's as dull as hell. Frankly, I'd rather have a multiple set of molars drilled without anesthetic than watch a baseball game. He's some cat with a bad haircut. He's got the Mo Howard haircut, and he used to hit the ball pretty good. He's a surly human being. He's not a friendly guy at all. He's got a kisser on him that looks like he kissed a Peterbilt, and he's been bitching, pissing, and moaning about whether he's in the Hall of Fame. Put him in the Hall of Fame. Who cares? Put him in there. You got a bunch of rapists and drug addicts, Ku Klux Klansmen. You got all kinds of scumbags in the Hall of Fame. Why would Pete Rose be out of place with those guys? Seriously. Okay, now coming up, we're going to talk about something else. We're going to talk about this MoveOn.org. And Jack Black, who is a very funny cat, one of the great young actors out in America today, and poor Jack has been co-opted by these dumbasses, by the Hollywood Democrats, man. Dude, don't do it. Don't do it, Black. You're a funny guy, and distance yourself from those butt wipes, please. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
There are many ways to find out just how fat you are, or if indeed you are fat. There are a lot of different ways to do it. You can, for instance, look in the mirror. Boy, I'm looking fat. I'm large. Maybe your clothes don't fit you as well as they once did. Sort of, wow, I can't get into these pants anymore. This shirt is hugging me a little tight. Perhaps a very good friend has commented to say, you know what, you look like you put on some weight. Do you want to go jogging? Do you want to go walking? Or you can find out that you're too fat. You're more fat, in fact, than words can describe. The way I found out about myself flying to Green Bay last month when we went to the Packer game, I couldn't even drop the tray table all the way down in front of me on the airplane. All right, thank you and good night. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. As I lowered the tray table when the woman said, do you want a snack? We'll be landing pretty soon. I said, thank you very much. And the tray table just sort of stopped at my gut. And I said to the kids, look at this, I can't get the tray table down. And the two of them are over there going, that's when you find out you're too fat. You can't get a tray table down. So what am I going to do about it, you're asking? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. Absolutely nothing. How do you like that? I'm going to keep slopping down those big fat, Long John caramel-colored babies. You know, what the hell was that thing we had? Maria, where are you, honey? Was my wife listening? What did we eat at that Spud Nuts the other day? I like those things. Those eclairs? And, oh, I know what it was. Those apple fritters. Keep getting that extra thick latte there at Starbucks. And let me just reiterate what I said earlier, Starbucks and Oxnard. Hire a couple of more people. Try not to make everything about money. Try not to make everything, every last thing on earth about money. Try not to make every single solitary thing you do in there about money. How about the comfort of your customers? And don't tell me you're doing me a big fat favor by throwing a few chairs and tables in there so we can sit around and read newspapers and pretend like we're beatniks. Which, by the way, speaking of beatniks, Lenny Bruce got a pardon. Did you hear that? Gee, that's great. Well, you talk about one of the most meaningless gestures in the history of man on this planet is this posthumous pardon. It's designed simply to make the individual granting the pardon look good. It's got nothing to do with the guy that's dead. Lenny Bruce is croaked. He's been croaked almost 50 freaking years. He died from a heroin overdose. He had his license to work yanked. Nobody liked his dirty words. And yes, you're right. Because of him, there are thousands and thousands and millions and billions of comics today working. Period. Because of Lenny Bruce. You think I'm exaggerating? I'm not. Because of Lenny Bruce, there are millions of people with work today. Because of Lenny Bruce, there was a Jerry Seinfeld. Because of Lenny Bruce, there's a George Carlin. Because of Lenny Bruce, there's a Paul Reiser. There's a Gary Shandling. Go on and on and on. Every single observational comic in the history of Margaret Cho, Elaine Boozler, Ellen DeGeneres, you name it. And also some straight ones. But anyway, they all have jobs today because of Lenny Bruce, who was a drug addict, but also a brilliant comic. And today, Governor Pataki, who would be exactly the kind of guy that would have pulled Lenny Bruce's license to work back in the 60s, he pardoned him. In other words, if Pataki had been governor back in the 60s, he would have had Lenny Bruce hung, if Lenny Bruce wasn't hung already. Get it? Ha 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 ha. Ow. So, there you go. So he got pardoned, so he's cool now. So you can talk, you can say F-S, M-F, M-F-N-B-C. What if it was M-F-N-B-C? Now that is what I call a network. Forget about M-S-N-B-C. M-F-N-B-C I'd watch. Mother Blanking National Broadcasting Company. That's what I call. Where do you work, man?
Well, I work at a mother effing NBC. I don't work at NBC. I work at mother effing NBC. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, the tray table wouldn't come down all the way because Fatso here, his big fat gut, would, and that's never happened to me before. Now, I used to think it's because you can't breathe when you tie your shoes. I used to think it was because gradually, as you know, airline travel can really hip you to a lot of things about your body. First of all, I'm letting out more and more and more of the excess belt on the seat belt until finally there isn't any left. But when I couldn't get the tray table down, and that jet from Minneapolis to Green Bay, oh my God, come on, people. Are times so tough that you have to make the seats, they wouldn't be fit for a munchkin, these seats. They wouldn't be fit for a circus munchkin. And you're trying to squeeze a cat like me into that? Are you kidding me? And don't tell me that they're comfortable just because I'm a fat slob. Because my two sons couldn't get into them either, and they're like 14 and 16 years old. They each weigh 300 pounds, but what's that got to do with anything? This is all I'm trying to say. This is the theme of the show today. How much money do you got to make? When is enough money enough money? When you're a company like McDonald's, and you got a license to print money, you make nothing but dough. And you're sitting around in a board meeting one day, and you say, how can we squeeze even more money out of the American consumer? How can we get a dead man to rise up out of his coffin and fart one more time and then drop back down exhausted? They won't be happy at McDonald's, at Starbucks, or at, what was the plane? Is it Delta Airlines? They won't be happy until they can get a dead man to get out of his box and get him a cup of coffee and then drop back down on the pavement. This is the thing. We got to make more money for the shareholders. We got to make more money and more money and more money. Dude, at some point, you got to be happy with the dough you're making. You can't base an economy on always making more bread. Because McDonald's has got to keep some shareholders happy, so they come out with this McFlurry machine, which is a plastic piece of garbage, which broke after the first use. You ought to be ashamed of yourselves, McDonald's. You understand that? No, you're not ashamed of yourselves. What you probably would do would be something like this. If you advertise on my show, you'd probably yank your advertising, wouldn't you? Yeah, that's the kind of people you are. A, you make hamburgers. B, you don't like any truth. You guys made me go out and buy a McFlurry machine, and don't say you didn't make me, because you put the ad on TV, and my daughter came screaming she wanted a McFlurry maker, so I go down and buy it for Christmas. It's the biggest piece of garbage. A lot of crap's come out of China, man, but this thing, woo-hoo, baby. This is the biggest travesty out of China since Tiananmen Square, this McFlurry maker. Tiananmen Square and then the McDonald's McFlurry maker. Two large atrocities. And I bought into at least one of them. The other one I just watched on TV. And so it busts, and I said to my wife, good God almighty, I mean, this is pathetic. McDonald's needed my lousy 20 bucks, too? They weren't getting enough of my money? They didn't get enough of my money with the... I've been doing nothing but buying quarter pounders with cheese for a solid freaking 20 years. Is that not enough for you? Almost weekly, I buy quarter pounders with cheese. But that ain't enough. You got to get more money out of me. You make a McFlurry maker. It's so cheap. You got $20 for an item that must have cost, well, it was made in China. I happen to know that those people over there make about 4 cents an hour. So you do the math, baby. It ain't coming out too good for China, I'll tell you that. Phil Hendry and the Chinese, we're all bending over. And McDonald's has got a freaking industrial-sized jar of Vaseline. What do you mean over 100 billion served? How about over 100 billion
blank?
Yeah, fist goes in, fist comes out. Over 100 billion burgers served and over 100 billion Chinese. You know what? And I won't say because I'm a gentleman. All right, here is Doug. Hello, Doug.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, is this Phil?
Yeah, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, it's great to talk to the most talented man in America. You keep going.
Hey, brother, I'll try it unless I get fired.
I wish I could get you clearer here in Fresno.
Well, it's cool that you're listening. Thank you.
Hey, let me, I'm sure the guy told you what I was going to ask. I've noticed you've gotten a lot more conservative ever since George Bush got elected. What's up with that?
Well, it's not really since Bush. I haven't really gotten more conservative, and it ain't about Bush being elected. When Bush was elected, I remember saying for the first year that he was in the office, I said, who's the president again? I totally forgot because this guy is such a blur. He's such an empty suit. I don't know anything about Bush. I do admire his war on terror. And if you consider that being conservative, I don't know why it is. I consider myself an old school Roosevelt Democrat. And what is that? That's a guy who believes in strong national defense and believes in a true partnership between government and business on the level of the kind that we achieved in World War II, where you had business and government combining to build daycare centers for their female workers. We had transportation. We had housing. This was a true partnership between business and government. That's the kind of Democrat that I am, and that's what I believe in. If that's conservative, since when can Democrats not go out and kick ass when we have to?
Oh, well, I agree with you wholeheartedly on
that.
Yeah. We have to. As a matter of fact, one of the problems in the Democratic Party is it's always been milquetoast.
Not always. When I say Roosevelt tradition, that's truly the party that I joined, a party that made government work truly for people and business and could go out and kick a little ass in the world when it had to. I agree with you that it's a meaningless, empty party right now because all they can do is react to Bush, man. I mean, that's not a political party. It's a club, man. It's like a no girls club. It's like a treehouse.
Yeah, but would you agree with me on balance, other than the war on terror, which I'm not sure you had much decision to make there anyway. I think any president sitting in the office after 9/11 would have made just about the same decisions.
I don't know.
There's a whole lot of choice in there. But, I mean, his economic program, you can't compare him to Roosevelt. Keynesian economics was supply-side economics.
Well, I don't know. I mean, Keynesian economics. Look, you just, thanks for calling. Thank you. Keynesian economics and supply-side look, pal, I ain't doing the Charlie Rose show here, okay? Let's keep it in English, not Swahili, and we're going to do great. Look, what I'm talking about is when a man needs a hand, the government can give it to him in a meaningful way, not paying lip service. I also believe, as many people believe who've protested at the World Trade Center, the World Trade Organization talks, that money isn't the number one need in this country and that people do come first. And while those people don't make their point very well, they do have a point. You know, and I love my country and I love my wife. I like to drink and I like to smoke and I'm fat. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back. 1-800-449-8686. Thank you.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, I got a little news about... Well, I got some news here that comes from my exclusive Middle East contacts. And you know what? If you don't dig the news about the Middle East, just stick around. Don't worry about it. Learn something. Oh, you know, are you going to do any funny voices? Well, not right now. Right now? Well, yeah, I am kind of going to. I'm going to do a funny voice. I'm going to do the funny voice of Phil talking about, get this, Germany's going to get punished. You don't think that the frogs and the krauts and those ruskies or any of them, you don't think they're going to come out of this whole thing without getting their ass kicked a little bit, do you? You don't think that we got American men and women in Iraq right now getting killed just so the frogs can get their hands on a construction contract, do you? You think that that's going to, you think the krauts are going to come out smelling like a rose? I got news, and this may not mean a lot to a lot of you, but it's going to mean a whole hell of a lot to some of you. As of, say, I think next, 2005, excuse me, 2005, mark it on your calendar, Ramstein Air Force Base, which is one of the largest air bases in the world, operated by the United States of America, and a medical facility to which many of our wounded men and women go following action in Iraq. Ramstein Air Force Base, which has been in Germany since World War II. And let me tell you something, they can say what they want about the American presence in a lot of these foreign countries. It does a lot for the economy of those areas. A lot. Ramstein Air Force Base is leaving Germany as of 2005. It is going one half of it to Bulgaria, the other half to northern Iraq. It's leaving Germany. Now, maybe the crowds don't give a crap. I got big news for you. They're going to care a lot when that money gets sucked out of their otherwise meaningless country. So that's the latest, baby. You mark my words, as of 2005, Ramstein Air Base disappears from Germany, and there will be others that will follow. Also, during the war in Iraq, we told you that the British, you know, who are with us for a lot of reasons, at least they had the guts, and Tony Blair was a guy with guts number one. The British are also going to be rewarded. Rewarded. The British will get four, not one, four area military bases in the Middle East as part of the deal they have with the United States. See, if you talk about, well, the U.S. is trying to co-opt the area oil, what we're doing is effectively going to do that. And you may think it's illegal, but it is also intelligent, and it has to do with the national security of this country. It also has to do with the security of Europe. Right now, the Middle East is out of control. There is no control in that part of the world of elements that want to inflict serious pain and misery on our country and others who happen to be friends of ours. Now, whether you think that that's true or not, doesn't make any, it doesn't mean that it ain't happening. It's happening. There are organizations down there being given aid and sustenance by all kinds of governments, and they want to do one thing and one thing only. They want to kill you and your kids. So guess what? The United States, recognizing that, has gone into that part of the world and has begun to hunt them out and in some instances capture them. In other instances, kick their asses around the block for drill. In other instances, put them in the ground. In the case of Saddam Hussein, they're softening him up right now. And otherwise, control a part of the world that's out of control. Now, that's just what Malcolm X used to refer to as common sense. You want to screw around with your thumb up your rear end and pretend like it ain't happening. And boy, have I got something to say about this MoveOn.org. Is that a Democratic Party organization? You know, I got to keep qualifying this, but I'm going to do it just so people know. I'm a Democrat. But I have no idea what this party represents anymore. I know what I think it should represent, and I articulated it to that last caller. But I got no idea what they're doing anymore. They got a website called MoveOn.org that is comparing George Bush to Adolf Hitler. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and I mean it sincerely. You have to be so stupid that you need to be put away if you think that. You have to be so stupid that you shouldn't be allowed to operate an electric knife. You shouldn't be allowed to shave yourself. You shouldn't be allowed to own a hamster if you honestly believe that a comparison between George Bush and Adolf Hitler is an operable comparison. You really need to have a babysitter, man. Someone to diaper you, someone to powder you, someone to wipe your mouth, someone to put you to bed, someone to burp you, fart you, whatever the hell you need, man, because you can't do it. You might kill yourself. I bet you farting is a deadly thing for you. I bet you if you cut a fart, your own fart, you'd die. Because it'd scare you so much, you'd have a heart attack. Oh, my, what did I do? And you just die. Because that's how dumb you have to be. And the most shocking and really sad news of all is that the artists that have lent their names to this website to come up with these ads, one of them is a guy that we happen to like on this show, Jack Black. What happened to you, kid? Do yourself a favor, man. Don't fall in with these jackasses. Cut your own freaking path, man. You know, go your own way. Remember that song by Fleetwood Mac? Go your own way? You can go your own way. Or how about McDonald's? Have it your way. Oh, no, that's Burger King. Have it your way. Have it your way. Jack Black's a talented guy. What are you doing hanging around with Stan Freberg, who hasn't been funny in thousands and thousands of years? And Moby. What? And Michael Moore, who, I shouldn't say this, but everybody that works for Michael Moore, in other words, anybody that's got hands-on experience with Michael Moore, and I'm not talking about any geisha in Tokyo or wherever it is that he goes to promote his bad books, they hate his guts. They don't like working for him. Apparently, he's a real fat slob and a lousy guy to work for. But, you know, other than that, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
So last week, we're sitting there having ourselves a little Mexican food. Kids are gone for the week. So you really have an opportunity to hang out with your old lady. That's an old term, a late 60s term. Old lady, it means your wife. I use it for a lot of my friends in moveon.org that still think it's 1968 with the whole Hitler thing. Oh, my God. Oh, my sweet living feathery God. Hitler, Bush, yeah, okay. Yeah, you cats are progressive. You're progressiveness all the way back to 1967. What do you think this is, man? Do you think this is Isla Vista or something? You want to burn down the bank branch, too, while you're at it? Look at the names of these. Here we go. I don't know. It's just maybe it's a disease that Hollywood caught in 1946 with the Hollywood 10. See, what happened was this. Some writers, very wrongly, were accused of being communists and this and that and a whole bunch of crap. And a lot of cats in Hollywood got singled out and blackballed. And ever since then, Hollywood has decided that not only are they going to make movies, but they're also going to influence public policy. It goes back to World War II. One of the heads of the studios then, I forget the guy's name, Sarnoff or some crap, he thought, what's the guy's name? Was there a guy, what's the guy that they named the thing after? Hirschberg, Feldberg, I don't know who the hell he was. But anyway, he thought that he could actually influence American policy. He was a studio chief. Well, ever since then, that's been the thought process among Hollywood that they can, you know, actually influence politics. That it isn't just movies that will do it. I mean, that's their art. That's what they do very well. But since a lot of times they don't make very good movies, in point of fact, most of the time the movies they make suck on ice, so they're going to have to do it some other way. I know. Let's go out and, like, open our big fat yaps at the press club and give speeches and issue press releases and have a website. So here's MoveOn.org, and they wanted to get a Bush in 30 Seconds ad funded, and one of them compared Bush to Hitler. It was submitted probably by just some really lame ass, and of course, MoveOn.org being populated by lame asses, they put it up on their website, and now it's, like, really embarrassing. It's just embarrassing. Now, here's some of the idiots, here's some of the people that are involved in MoveOn.org. I ain't heard of half of them. One of them, like I said, is this cat Jack Black, who we're big fans of. Janine Garofalo, who's Stan Greenberg? This is Stan Freberg. Well, whatever. Moby. Michael Moore, who's never had an original thought ever. Mark, yeah, that's right. That's what I said. Never had an original thought. My wife tried. She said, you got to read this book, Dude, Where's My Country? I tried. I really tried. The guy doesn't make any point other than the fact that occasionally Bush has been inconsistent with his remarks, which proves he's an absolutely corrupt president, and there's something fishy with that whole election in 2000. I mean, the guy is paranoid on that level. Tony Shalhoub? Why do I know that name? What show? Monk? Is that a TV show? Michael Stipe, you know, the guy from REM that tries, that has made looking like you have AIDS chic. Yeah, that Michael Stipe. Gus Van Sant, who gives a crap? Half of these freaking, Hector Elizondo. Ain't that the guy that's like on television, but he really wishes he was on TV? Okay. But the only guy in here that we really feel bad about is Jack Black, but if he doesn't give a crap, neither do we. Anyway, we love your movies, Jack. And they come out with this Bush-Hitler comparison, which is beyond stupid. Just beyond stupid. It's like my son, he says, would we live in Nazi Germany? No, because if we lived in Nazi Germany, you wouldn't have your own personal computer. You'd be in a concentration camp. Well, it feels like one around here. What are you talking about, man? You think you live in a concentration camp? Well, yeah, we might as well live in a concentration camp the way you guys run it. Look, they didn't have personal computers in concentration camps, and they also weren't allowed to go down and paintball with their friends on weekends. Well, it sounds like a conversation you'd have with a child, right? Right. However, we're not having that conversation with a child. We're having that conversation with grown adults. Grown adults. Bush and Hitler. And then we got to keep reading Janine Garofalo's name in here and his... I'm surprised, who's that other jackass? What's that guy's name? Farrell. I bet he's got to be, you know, lurking around the fringes of this thing, too. Every time we turn around, there's Hollywood being stupid. Just make a movie that everybody wants to see. Make a TV show that we can actually stay awake through. Something. Anything. Please, dear God. I got an idea. How about making a show about five friends in an apartment, or six friends, and they live in New York? Oh, you mean you did? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Leonard. Hello, Leonard.
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Fine.
It's great to get through to you. Earlier, you talked about McDonald's, said McDonald's was taking advantage of everybody.
Yeah.
You know, forcing people to eat all this food. I would submit... Who have you ever seen in McDonald's with a gun at their head being forced to buy something?
Look it. I'm talking about the crap marketing that they do, the merchandising that they do, the cheap product that they sell. I'm talking about a little McFlurry maker that I bought for my daughter, okay? Are they so desperate for money they can't put a little bit more into the quality of some of the things they do?
In all of that you said, where did they take your ability to choose away from you?
Hey, Leonard, I'm not saying that. Let me just, you know, put the shoe on the other foot. I'm not saying that anybody's forcing me to buy their product, okay?
Okay.
Now that we have, you know, shown Phil Hendry's culpability in this entire scenario, now let's take a look at McDonald's, okay?
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Don't they make enough money?
Oh, sure. I'm sure they make plenty of money. That's why they're in business.
And are they so greedy? See, I'm asking a question, just like you asked me a question.
Sure.
I'm asking you one now.
Uh-huh.
Are they so greedy, are they so blood-sucking greedy that they send American jobs to China to make a piece of garbage toy that I pay top dollar for and that breaks in one use? Now, that's my question for you. Is that how blood-sucking greedy McDonald's is?
Well, I'd have to ask you...
No. You already asked me one. Now I get one. I answered your question. Now you answer mine.
You're forcing me to answer.
Yeah, you asked me to answer your question, and I did. I said, you're right. I buy the food. You're right. Now, you answer my question. Are they so blood-sucking greedy that they go to China to make this turd of a toy that I buy for my daughter, and then it breaks after the first? I just wanted to know.
I won't let you force me to call it greedy.
Okay.
Okay. I agree in the direction you're headed.
All right, thanks very much. Thanks a lot. That was Charlie Rose calling. I thought we already got your call out of the way, man. 1-800-449-8686. Todd, go ahead.
Hi there. Yeah, I just wanted to say that, well, I think that anytime you use on in a video medium, you know, two pictures of individuals that you're comparing like that, That's kind of manipulative, and I don't agree with that. And that's
what are you talking about? What are you talking about?
For Bush,
what are you talking about?
For Bush and Hitler.
Oh, okay.
The way that the ad was set up, it had, you know, these opposing pictures, these opposing
images.
Have
you seen this thing?
Yeah, I've seen them. I saw them played on the news. So I'm just saying that while I don't think it's fair to compare them that way, it's manipulative as far as the viewers are concerned. There are some. It is valid to make some comparisons there because.
Go ahead, make one. Make a valid comparison.
The way the ad was set up, they were comparing the rhetoric of Hitler versus the rhetoric of Bush.
Rhetoric meaning lies. Let's use the right word. Lies.
The way that they spoke. The way that they tried to motivate the populace to get behind.
Well, then I can make the same comparison between Hitler and Martin Luther King or Jesus Christ, for that matter. I'm sure he was very compelling.
And it is also valid, I think, to compare the types of policies that have been instituted in this country.
That's so ignorant, man. I mean, come on, Todd. You sound like a bright guy. Are you putting me on?
No, I'm not, actually. I mean,
dude, where did you lose your way, man?
Today in this country.
Where did you lose your way, dude? There is no comparison between Nazi Germany and America. It's the most disgustingly I'm not going to say you're a bad man. I'm saying if you really believe that, man, you got to be dumb.
Let me just give you one example. Today in this country, the police can come into your home, can search through your stuff without a warrant of arrest that they have to present you with.
In every free society in this world, police, if they have reasonable suspicion that a crime's being committed, yes, they may come into your home. That's always been true. Always been true that if a police officer has reasonable suspicion, for instance, Todd,
right,
if you were raping a child, the police don't have to have a search warrant. They can break your door down, come in, and pull you off of that kid.
What I'm saying is they can do that without informing you that they've done it, even.
Sir, they can get a court order from a judge. You mean for a wiretap?
For a wiretap? Or
yes, that's right. Yes, they can. That's how we put away
them.
Some of the top mafia in this country with wiretaps. It's called they do it with RICO. Yeah. Well, anything else? I mean, what are you talking about, man? Do you understand that in Nazi Germany they arrested people, charged them, tried them, and within 3 hours of their arrest, executed them? Within 3 hours of their arrest, they had a guillotine in Nazi Germany. And sure, you got a trial, and maybe if you call a representative being some clown who would just stand there, you were executed within 3 hours. You had your property taken away from you without any legal proceeding whatsoever. None. It was given away to people. You were put into a concentration camp if you were the wrong kind of individual. A homosexual, for instance. Not just a Jew. You were not allowed any kind of legal recourse whatsoever in that country. Are you trying to sit there and tell me, because you have such a hard-on for George Bush, that you're going to make this comparison? Because you don't sound like a dumb guy.
That's not the way it's been in this country, though. There have been certain tenets and principles that we've always upheld that have been unlike any of those types of
societies. Are you just afraid they're going to take away your weed?
Excuse me?
Are you afraid they're just going to take away your pot plants? All right, man, thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Dude's afraid they're just going to come in and take away. They're going to recognize that those tomato plants you're growing out back are just to camouflage the weed, right? All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Hey, like two of the most revered presidents in American history. Okay, I'll just throw two at you. One of them was a guy named Abraham Lincoln, and another one was a guy named Franklin Roosevelt. Lincoln, during the Civil War, suspended habeas corpus, one of our so-called basic rights. Habeas corpus, gone, suspended by the President of the United States during the Civil War. Franklin Roosevelt built internment camps for Japanese Americans. Both of those guys, everybody kisses their asses up one side and down the next. They're the greatest presidents in the history of the country. Abe Lincoln And now Bush is called Hitler because he's got a bunch of ragheads down in Guantanamo, and he ain't kissing their ass, and he's not giving them, you know, goat meat for dinner, whatever the hell it is, stewed goat meat, and they don't get a lawyer, man. They ain't getting F. Lee Bailey down there. Because these ragheads down in Guantanamo, man, they ain't got the right size prayer mat. I hope they die down there, man. I hope they freaking rot. I hope they never get out. What do you think of that? These clowns were not legal combatants. They're running around in Afghanistan with a freaking rag on and a gun, shooting it off in the air. They don't know what the hell they're doing. We find these guys, they're shooting at American soldiers. Guess what? You're going into that truck, you're getting into that plane, we're flying your ass to Guantanamo. And be glad, it's in the Caribbean, baby. It's cool, there's a very nice trade wind. You can sit there in your cage and you can pray to Allah until the freaking cows come home, baby. And we even got a few raghead Muslim chaplains down there in the Marine Corps, if they ain't selling their country out. And they'll come in and they'll counsel you and talk to you and kiss your butt and wipe your rear end and make sure everything's cool. And, oh my God, it's Adolf Hitler all over again. And guess what we started doing today? Or I don't know if it was today, but recently. And I love this. We're fingerprinting every son of a gun that comes into this country. Now, every foreigner gets a fingerprint. What's that, a violation of the Constitution too? Is that right? We're at war. I heard a guy say it the other day. He's absolutely right. This is World War III. Welcome to World War III. You thought it would be different, didn't you? You thought we'd be crawling under our desks at school waiting for the A-bomb to go off. No, this is the World War III, baby. And it ain't going to be some bomber flying overhead dropping an A-bomb on your ass. It'll be some freaking raghead walking in here with it in a suitcase. I hope another 9/11 happens. I really do. I swear to God, I hope another one happens. It's the only thing that's going to wake half of these jackasses up, half of these chowderheads who are running around. And the only reason why we talk this way is because we have the luxury of doing it here in the United States. We can sit around over another beer bong, watch another NFL pregame show with our thumb up our ass, and talk all about how Bush is Hitler. Why? Well, you know, that's what bored people do. That's what bored, entitled people do. So we'll sit around and we'll talk about Bush being Hitler and so enjoyably, and then we'll run off and have another Starbucks and, you know. By the way, you know, remember Dumbass, my brother-in-law? He came out and visited for Thanksgiving. He didn't say boo because he knew I kicked his ass in the last email exchange. Anyway, don't forget our Dumbass of the Year Awards. Speaking of dumbasses, and that's coming up on Friday. We will review and release the names of the winners in our various categories for Dumbass of the Year. And you're invited to vote by going to philhenryshow.com. That's www.philhenryshow.com. And vote in the following categories. African American division. The nominees are Kobe Bryant, Whitney Houston, Michael Jackson. In the Caucasian division, the nominees are Howard Dean, Wesley Clark, and Rush Limbaugh. In the TV star division, Ryan Seacrest, Bill O'Reilly, and Ozzy Osbourne. In the movie star division, Ben Affleck, Sean Penn, Catherine Zeta-Jones. In the youth division, Lee Boyd Malvo, Paris Hilton, and Britney Spears. Did you hear about her getting married and then they had to annul it? You know, I'll tell you what's going on with her because you can see it. A blind man can see it. She is so in need of some kind of an image that she's comfortable with. She's now doing what she considers to be wild and crazy stuff. Because she's getting her ass kicked in the image department by Pink, Aguilera, even, you know, Madonna's got a more interesting image than Britney Spears. Although that album she's got out right now, it went platinum, right? How do I know? My 18-year-old son has it in his car. Dude, I mean, don't you think it's time you started listening to rock and roll? Don't you think it's time now that you're 18 to get off of Kiss FM and start cranking it over to something more interesting? Because if I got to rip the radio out of your car, I'll do it. Anyway, so that's the youth division. Now, in the male division, the nominees are Scott Peterson, Saddam Hussein, and Gray Davis, the former governor of California. In the female division, the nominees are Martha Stewart, Courtney Love, and Mary Tyler Moore, only because we couldn't think of anybody else. And frankly, she's a deserving nominee because she couldn't remember the lines to some play she was doing. It was a Neil Simon play. She kept blowing the lines. They had to fire her. That's not a very sexy nominee, but come on. And then overall, Dumbass of the Year, is it Kobe Bryant, Saddam Hussein, Michael Jackson, or Rush Limbaugh? Now, you go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com, and log on and vote for our a variety of Dumbass of the Year awards. And then, of course, on Friday, our webcast, we will roll out the winners of the Dumbass of the Year awards. And you can see our webcast by going to www.philhenryshow.com and getting a backstage pass. It's only $6.95 a month, and it's good for, like, a month. Or you can get a six-month pass, which is a little bit cheaper. Or you don't have to get one at all. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.